book of Proverbs once again, if you will. Am I on yet? Are you sure? Okay, because I can't hear me. Can you hear me? No? Yeah, John's not. He doesn't know what button. If Ben could show him what button would do, that would probably be better. There's a little bit better. Good job, John. You're learning. Well, maybe not. But anyway, Proverbs chapter 24. I think sometimes he does it on purpose. That's what I think. Don't you think he does it on purpose? He's a control freak. That's his problem. Proverbs chapter 24. And we're going to read two verses tonight, and I've been excited to preach this all day long. The Bible says, "My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then thou shalt be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." I want to preach to you tonight a topic I've entitled, "Do You Have a Sweet Tooth?" Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for the day again. We pray that you bless our time in the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be an encouragement tonight. And I pray that you'd help me to be emptied of anything that would be self-sufficient or vain. I confess to you that I need you. I ask that you'd help me to be filled with the Spirit and used as a vessel, Lord, to transfer the truth and make the sense of the Scriptures for your people. Lord, that we can leave here encouraged and helped. Would you help us tonight? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many would say, I do kind of have a sweet tooth? How many would confess that tonight? Maybe, "I have a sweet tooth." Come on, don't be like, "I have a sweet tooth." Don't be ashamed of it. I have a sweet tooth. Okay, good. All right. Technically, by definition, I never read the definition, but by definition, according to the dictionary, a sweet tooth is a craving or a fondness for sweet food. Now, maybe you didn't raise your hand because you didn't know what having a sweet tooth was, okay? So based on that, now let's see if we have everybody on board. Based on that you have a craving or a fondness of a sweet tooth, how many would say, "Yeah, okay, now that I know, I have a sweet tooth"? Okay, good. There's nobody here but us, so this is therapy, right? I'd normally tell people that I'd rather eat something salty and starchy and crunchy and as opposed to something sweet, but I was guilty of eating two pieces of my wife's chocolate cake last night, and I made a fool of myself in front of people. And so I suppose for me, you could say, I'm one of those people that have to be in the mood for sweets. You know what I mean? I mean, like, if I sit down and I had, like, you know, maybe a 12 or a 13-ounce cowboy cut ribeye with a big baked potato with some, you know, chives and sour cream and butter and all that kind of good stuff on there. And I had some corn on the cob and some garlic bread. I probably, after I was done with that, would not need any dessert. I would be okay. I would be satisfied. How many would be like that with me sometime? Okay. I'd be okay, and I wouldn't be sitting around. And a lot of people, after they eat like that, they'll do one of two things. Either they'll eat all of that and then still say, "I want something sweet," or they'll cut back on that, saving room for something sweet. How many are room savers? You just say, "You know what? I would rather forego." I mean, why waste that food? You know, I'm going, look, if I'm going to pay for it, I'm going to eat all that bad stuff. And I suppose for me, I'd have to be in the mood for sweets. But many people would say that we are always in the mood for sweets. Or at the least, you would say there is always room for dessert. There's always room for dessert. How many are there's always room no matter what? No matter how full I am, I could have at least a little bit of ice cream or at least a half a dozen cookies or one cookie, something like that. So I'm one of those guys that have to be kind of in the mood for it. I find it interesting here, for all of you vegetable lovers, I find it interesting that God didn't say that wisdom was like broccoli. Okay? It doesn't say, "My son, eat thou cauliflower because it is good, and the Brussels sprout, which is sweet to thy taste," because even God knows broccoli is not good to eat, okay? I'm just saying, he doesn't say it's like cauliflower, he doesn't say it's like Brussels sprouts, or not even spinach. He likened it to something that would have been familiar to the people of Israel, both by plenty and by promise. You'll remember that when the Lord Jesus was resurrected, that they brought him broiled fish and honeycomb. Why? Well, because way back in Exodus chapter 3, God said, I'm come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and broccoli. Doesn't say that. It said milk and honey unto the place of the Canaanites. Again, in Leviticus 20, he makes it very clear, but I've said unto you, ye shall inherit their land and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. So way back when Israel left Egypt, as even we've been studying, God said, listen, I've got this place for you, and one thing that it will be noted for is the honey. And then we notice, even in Ezekiel 27:17, Judah and the land of Israel, they were thy merchants. They traded in thy market wheat and honey and oil and balm. So this was something that people in Jerusalem, people in Samaria and Judea and through the country, throughout the country of Israel, they would recognize, yeah, okay, I get it. There's something here of a promise. There's something here of plenty, and I can relate to this as God says, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it, and there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Now, you may or may not have a love for sweets, but God wants us to have a love for his precious word. The book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. And once again, Solomon is demonstrating the pleasure and the profit that comes along with taking God's word and hiding it in our heart. I feel like I've read this one verse 100 times in the last year, but Colossians 1:9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, if a person then could develop a sweet tooth, if we can develop a craving or a fondness for sweet food, I assume a person could also develop a fondness for the word of the Lord, if they kept at it long enough. If they kept at it long enough. I want you to take your outline, and I want us to see three observations about developing a fondness for the word of God. Notice, first of all, if you will, number one, the appeal of wisdom. The appeal of wisdom. The Bible says in verse 13, my son, eat thou honey, because it's good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. Now, when grocery stores lay out their merchandise, it is you that they have in mind. Strategically, they place things in your path along the way to the necessities of your life that are on your list that you know that you need to provoke you or to entice you to buy them. I fall almost every time when I go into the store. Trigger foods like chips and donuts and cookies and donuts and snacks or donuts. Not everything put out in front of you is good for you. Do you understand that? But they target you, and when you walk through the store, they're trying to lure you to the Dorito aisle, and they're trying to lure you over to the Ho-Hos, and they're trying to lure you over to the Twinkies and to the donuts and all that stuff that you are not there to get. But more than likely, on the way back to the bread or the way back to the cheese or the way back to the milk or whatever you need, more than likely, they're going to get their share of people that buy because they've seen and they know that it's not necessarily good. Look, we're going to go back to therapy group. How many would say in the last 7 days, I have bought something at the grocery store that I knew that I didn't need, and when I went in there, I didn't want, but I bought it anyway, and it was food? How many would just say that? Okay, look at that. That's like 75-80% of the people. Some of you are like, I didn't do it. That's because you don't go to the grocery store, you hypocrite. If you did go, you probably would buy something. You guys are the ones that go to Home Depot to get like a light bulb, and you come out with like extension cords, or Costco, right? You go there for eggs because you eat a lot of eggs, and you come out with like $400 worth of stuff. You're like, I just came for eggs. How did that happen? My point is, not everything that put in front of you is good for you, but when you open the Bible, you don't have to worry about that because it's all good. The Bible says, letter A, it's good for the soul. What's the appeal of wisdom? Well, he begins by saying, hey, look, I want you to see, he doesn't mention sweet first. He says, eat the honey because it's good. Eat the honey because it's good. You know what the word of God is? It's good. And it's good for the soul. The word there is pleasant. It means agreeable. Have you ever eaten something? Maybe you'd say, Pastor, I've eaten something in the past, maybe even tonight, that didn't agree with me. Anybody ever heard that? My mom and dad would just always say, oh yeah, I don't eat that anymore because it just doesn't agree with me. And I'd be like, what is that? It doesn't have a choice. It doesn't even have an opinion. It's a food. What do you mean? Now I'm 47 years old and sometimes I sit up at night and have to go sit in my antacid because something didn't agree with me. Cucumbers don't agree with me. How many like that? Cucumbers don't agree with you either? Cucumbers and me do not get along, so I don't eat them. If I do, I suffer. Black beans and I don't get along. Now, I can eat refried kidney. I can eat anything else. But black beans, oh, my soul. I do not. They don't get along with me. I do not agree with black beans. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that we would say that we don't agree with. But you know what? I want you to understand this. When you are a born-again child of God, the word of God is pleasant and agreeable to the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. It agrees. It's his book. He's the one that wrote it. Every time you read it, he agrees with it. The good that was brought into you to dwell in your life by the presence of God Almighty thrives on it. It's good. I need it. It's better and more necessary than my own necessary food. The Bible says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. That's pretty good. I mean, if one of the good things that comes out of me reading the Word of God is that I hate everything false and deceitful and negative and sinful, that's pretty good, amen? I mean, if it's that good for me, then maybe I should be reading it more. Isaiah 39:8 says, then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. Why? Because the Word of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 1:10, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of, listen, Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Why? Because it's good. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thy commandments. Oh, let me not wander from them. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, the word of God is how I cleanse myself. That's good. That's good for the soul. It's interesting to me that the Bible says that it's profitable and that it thoroughly furnishes the man of God unto all good works, that he would be perfect, complete. It would be whole, entire, not wanting anything. Because why? Because it's good. Now, not only is it good, secondly, it's sweet. The Bible says, my son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. So it's not just good, it's sweet. Now, honey may be sweet to the taste, but not wholesome if you eat too much of it. Okay? Now, we know this from Scripture. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to be gross. I'm just reading the Bible. It's PG-13, R in some places. Proverbs 25:27. It's not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not good. So the Bible's not contradicting itself here. It's saying, listen, you may physically eat too much honey. Watch this, but you'll never have that problem if you eat too much of the Word of God. That's what God's saying. He's saying you will never get, listen, sick of truth. You'll never get sick spiritually by reading too much about me. You'll never get too sick from listening to how God wants to lead your life. But the Bible is not like that, you see. I can feast on it as much as I want. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign, God said. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Listen, butter and honey shall he eat that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. God says, listen, I've likened this all along, and I want you to see, as far as a born-again child of God goes, when I'm done with you, you're going to have plenty, and you can have all of it that you want. It's good for you. It's sweet. You know, for some of us, if I'm in the mood, and for you, sometimes if you're always in the mood, you eat something, and you just want a little bit of sweet. You know, like a little piece of chocolate, or you may be one of those ladies that stash a big bar and you just go in and pinch off a little bit at a time. I don't know, But you know what I'm talking about? It's almost like the cigarette smoker that eats and he just has to smoke right after he eats just because that's a habit. How many have ever known anybody like that, okay? I grew up in a house of smokers, and once you ate, then that's what you did. You just smoke a cigarette. For some of us, we eat and we have to have a donut, for lack of a better thought, or a piece of chocolate, or something sweet. Why? Because it, you could say, satisfies, right? It's that little piece of sugar. It's that little piece. And by the way, dietitians say if you're going to eat sugar, that's the best time actually to eat it. It's right when you're done eating dinner, is to put it in there because everything's digesting and it's not, it just kind of goes through there with everything else. I'm trying to help you as well as being spiritually encouraging tonight. But the fact of the matter is, some of us just have to have it. Let me ask you a question. Is that the way the Word of God is to you? Because when something's sweet, it satisfies. It's not just good. God says, it's sweet. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You see, Job had an insatiable appetite or desire, or shall we say it, craving for the word of God. See, we see God saying here, look, I'm not selling you anything. I'm just giving you the facts. There's an appeal for wisdom. Secondly, I see in this passage the appreciation for wisdom. The Bible says, my son, eat thou honey because it's good. And the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Now, I do enjoy to eat a good meal, and I enjoy the journey of eating the good meal and the celebration of all the flavors along the way. But I equally enjoy the reward. That is the gratification of a full stomach. I don't like to partially eat. I like to fully eat. When I eat, I don't stop until I'm full. Now, some of you have eaten with me, and you know that I eat sometimes more than when I'm full, and that's a different story altogether. Don't judge me, but that's just, you know, I enjoy the gratification of a full stomach. That lull of consciousness that follows, the removal of blood from the extremities in the brain to process and digest the food. It's very gratifying to go after Thanksgiving meal and to sit there and go into that comatose, that tryptophan coma. And, you know, and you're watching the Cowboys just score and score and score and score and score. And you're just going and you're like, yes, I can go to sleep now. You know, it's not as easy to fall asleep when you're losing, huh, Ralph? It's just not that easy. When you're losing, it's not as easy to fall asleep. But when you're winning, it's like, oh, we got this. You know what I mean? But you know what I love that feeling. It's wonderful. It's tingly. It's awesome. It is really, really good. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, I enjoy the journey. Look, I enjoy the sweet potatoes. I enjoy the stuffing. I enjoy all of it. But I enjoy the end of it too. Though it's sad, the worst part of every meal is when it's over. But when it is over, by the time I'm done and I put my fork down, I'm full and I like that feeling. There's a reward there. And the Word of God, when we ingest it, is equally as rewarding, both the present tense and the journey and the expectation of the end. First of all, it brings present results. Present results. When I am fully engulfed, or engaged in reading the Word of God, it present tensely brings me peace. Why? Because it's the word of my God. That's why. Because it's my God that sits in the heavens. It's my God that this earth is his footstool. It's my God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's my God that has my life and my walls and my times written in his hand. So when I'm fully engaged, when I'm enjoying the journey and I'm going verse by verse, there's a very, very present reward. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3 just for a couple of minutes, if you will. And I want you to begin with me in verse 13. The present results. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are what? Peace. She, that is wisdom, the word of God, is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Look, you won't find a negative thought about it. You won't find something disparaging about taking the word of God and putting it into my life and spending time in it so that I can live it out, except that there would be a present result of being happy, or the joy of the Lord, or taking even that passage and saying, hey, listen, it mentions specifically peace. Man, everybody wants peace in any given day. Matthew Henry, I read this afternoon, said this: those that have tasted honey need no further proof that it is sweet, nor can they by any argument be convinced of the contrary. So those that have experienced the power of truth and godliness are abundantly satisfied of the pleasure of both. They have tasted the sweetness of them, and all the atheists in the world with their sophistry and their profane with their banter, though profane with their banter, cannot alter their sentiments. Why? Because it's settled. It's not only settled in heaven forever, it's settled in their heart. There is a present result that what I know about my God and what I'm gaining from Him, waiting at His gates daily, I shall not be moved. Why? Because I've set the Lord always before me. There's a present result. Secondly, there's a promised reward. The Bible says in verse 14 that there is not just shall be a reward, but thy expectation shall not be cut off. Wisdom has a present sweetness to it. That's the reward of what we gain immediately, but it also has a future recompense or reward. You see, when we digest the precepts of God's word and assimilate them, do you know what they do? Listen very carefully. When they're in their right place, if I could say it the way the Lord Jesus did in the parable of the soil, when it falls on good ground, that is when it really takes root, when the seed actually dies and brings forth fruit, when I digest the word of God and they assimilate them, do you know what it does? It sets me forth to work. It provokes me to movement. One that is genuinely engaged in the word of God is no longer idle, but they're striving together for the faith of the gospel. They're serving, you see, which in the end, according to the Bible, brings with those things faithfully done for Christ a great reward. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see where I'm going? If I take the word of God lawfully for what it is, lovingly for what it can do for me, and I lean on His everlasting arms as I walk by faith, what's it going to do? It's going to produce through me, and at the end of my days, those things that I have labored for the Lord will not be in vain. The Bible says, for surely there's an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. According to my earnest expectation, Paul said to the church at Philippi, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified on my body, whether it be by life or by death. Why? Because his expectation was that I'm doing this for the Lord. And any time I set forth to do something for the Lord, I am always, always, always going to receive out of that. What? An expectation. You know, the thoughts that God has toward me are peace and safety, with an intent to bring me, according to the Bible, to an expected end. He expects something out of me, and as I respond to what His delight is in me, and I start to delight in Him, now I can expect because of His word. I'm just taking Him at His word. What's that called? Faith. And faith without works is dead. The appeal of wisdom, it's good. It's good. Now look, there's no appeal to broccoli. None. I don't care if you boil it. I don't care if it's in the raw. Why does it have to be appealing only when you cover it or smother it with ranch or cheese? Because it's awful. That's why. Why is the only time spinach is ever appealing or attractive if it's creamed? Because it needs to be creamed and thrown away. That's why. Why is all the stuff that's supposed to be good for you? Well, look, you don't have to do nothing to a Twinkie. Unwrap it and eat it. It's good and it's sweet. You don't find somebody saying, well, you'll really like this if I dip it in cheese or ranch. Nobody has to do that. Why? Because you know it's good. You do. Now, in your mind, you're thinking, yeah, but Pastor, that's really not good for you. Prove it. Prove it. Well, the sugar's bad for you. No, it's not. Sugar's good for you. God made sugar cane. That's what it is. It's sugar. If Kurt Skelly were here, he would go on about a half-hour rant about sugar. But I'm not Kurt Skelly. I'm not D. Miller either, so I'm not going to go either way. The fact of the matter is, God doesn't have to sell you on the Word of God. But he does want it to appeal to you. And really, you could argue, well, I don't read it because it's not very appealing. Well, it's appealing to the Spirit of God in you then. Maybe you ought to visit that point. And then if I'm walking in the light as he is in the light, I'll have fellowship one with another. Then I'll remember that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from that sin. And then as I look into the Word of God and I see what it is, that light and that lamp that I need, then I get to see. Now I can appreciate it. I can appreciate it for what it is today. Man, I hope you read it today. I hope you did. I hope you took it out. I hope you cherished it. I hope you prayed over it like you do a meal before you go to eat it. Before you open that honey and take that honeycomb, before you look into the precious Word of God, I hope that you asked. I hope that you got your heart right. Because when you are fully engaged in it, there's a present reward. And there is a future expectation that God says it's going to come because it's going to work through you. I want to give you, third of all, then the apprehension of wisdom. And it's all right here in the passage. We said verse 13 many times. Look at verse 14. So shall. Now again, that's the metaphor. He's saying, look, this is good and sweet, and so shall knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. Watch this. When thou hast found it. Can we say that phrase together? Ready? When thou hast. Let's say it again. Ready? When thou hast found it. It goes on to say, then there shall be reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. I thought about that a little while today, and I thought, wow, you know, nothing is ever found except it be looked for. You don't find anything without looking for it. I suffer from an eye disease that is very common to men and junior hires. And it's called the right in front of your face syndrome. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody else have that disease? Oh, if you could see all the wives going psh and poking like this, that's funny. So I know at least Dave and Randy and I have, we're the three musketeers. Randy, it's right in front of your face. I'm looking in front of my face and I can't see it. Tonight, to illustrate the point, I looked at my wife, said, I said, honey, I don't think there's ketchup. We might need some ketchup for, and she said, oh no, yeah, I have a new one in the cupboard. I said, okay. And the cupboard is like, it's like the Twilight Zone. I mean, it could be packed full, and I've seen it 100 times. You open them, it's like, imagine a cupboard with nothing in it. You know, that's the way I feel sometimes. I open it up and I'm looking. I'm not panicking. I got all the time in the world. Dinner can get cold. I'm not panicking. I'm looking around. She's like, it should be right there. I'm like, well, I'm looking right here. And lo and behold, right just out of just right there was the ketchup bottle. I didn't see it. It happens all the time. Honey, have you seen this shirt? Yeah, it's in your closet. She's in the other part of the room, and I'm looking. I'm going, go back through this way, go back through that way. Well, go back through this way, and that's all of her clothes, right? So then I have to go back here, and I go back through the 4 or 5 inches that I have, and no, it's not there again. Is it under the inches? It's underneath, and then there's all of her clothes, and then all of their clothes, and I go back over to the drawer that's mine, and I go, oh, yeah, no, it's not in there either. Honey, it's not there. It's there. And how many times has your wife come in and gone, you know, laid it down? Yep. I suffer from, it's right in front of your face, itis, like junior hires, old men. It's right there. But watch this. The phrase, when thou hast found it, tells me that laziness is never rewarded in Scripture. Never. Where there is no effort, there's no gain. If I lose my wallet tonight, I'm never going to find it unless I go looking for it. If I lost my car keys, I wouldn't find them unless I go looking for them. God says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. He says, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. There's a lion in the street. I can't go there. You know, you don't find anything without looking. Some people would do anything to be able to do nothing. And I find that true, unfortunately, in the Christian life. We really would prefer it, Lord, if we didn't have to go look for it. If we could say we read it, we all had a photographic memory, man, that would be awesome. I don't know anybody with a photographic memory. I certainly know that I don't have it. So what am I left to do? I got to go look for it. If I want to find it, I got to look for it. As a Christian, we have no one to blame if we are living without it. For God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished. Make you perfect, he said, in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Let me give you three admonishments and we're going to be done. Number one, be relentless in your search. Be relentless in your search. Have you guys been to the Oak Ridge Mall in the last 6 or 7 months? There's a store in there called Lolly and Pops. Has anybody seen that store? Nobody seen that store? Are you joking? How many have seen that store? It's a couple of you. Three or four of you. Okay. My family, because we live in that store. Lolly and Pops has every old school candy on the planet in there. They have, like, I don't even know. How many like root beer? I'm a root beer freak. They have the best root beer I've ever put in my mouth in there. And they have, like, I don't know, three or four of them. They have some exotic sodas in there. They have some really great stuff in there. And they have, on the back, it's like an old school candy store. In the very back are all the bins of the different scoop in the bag kind of candy. And you can go in there and you can have a taster of every one and they won't say no. My son goes in there and he goes, I want the teeth. There's candy monster teeth back there. And they're huge. And they're like that. I'm like, no one's going to give you. No, Dad, they always do. Can I have a teeth? Oh, yeah, here you go. And I'm like, dude, that's like a lunch in like one thing. It's huge. They go to the big, like the, I don't know what you call them, fish? Like they're like fish. They're candied fish. They'll give you that. They'll just go gummy worms, a Sour Patch, whatever you want. They'll just keep handing them to you. And I'm like, this is awesome. You don't have to pay for nothing. Just, yeah, I'll take that and that. And they just do that. Now, eventually, they kind of get it, and then they ignore you, and they walk away. But for the most part, they'll just keep going. They have all kinds of stuff in the front, and they have, I mean, like just the old, really the old school candy. They got some nuts in there, and it's a really a fantastic place. I mean, it really, really is a fantastic place. When you find something that you like, you do whatever it takes to go back to that store, or you'll find an excuse to go by the store. In days gone by, my wife would say, hey, I need to go to the mall. I'd be like, okay, we'll go to the mall. Now she goes, hey, would you mind if we go to the mall? No, not at all. And then she remembers. And then we'll go in there, and she's like, you can go to Lolly and Pop. Okay, it's like my toy store. Okay, I'm going to Lolly and Pop. And I go in there, and I love it. I absolutely love it. I just walk in there like, look at it. Last time I found some pistachios that were unbelievable with the habanero pepper on them. It's awesome. I mean, it's really great. It's like when you really find something that you want and that you like and it's good to the taste, you don't mind going back. You don't mind going to look for it again. And lo and behold, if it's out, you're like, where's the other Lolly and Pop at? Or can you order it? I mean, you'll go online. You'll do whatever it takes. They have cheer wine in there. How many know what cheer wine is? That's a cherry soda. It's not wine. Everyone's like, they have cherry soda from the East Coast shipped there. And it's, if you've never had a cherry soda cheer wine, it's awesome. How many have had a cheer wine soda? It's really, really good. My point is, when you find it, you'll do whatever it takes to go get it. Be diligent, relentless in your search. The Bible says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Let me ask you this. Are you finding what you need out of the Word of God? Are you, if I could say it in tail of our summer series, are you finding God? because that's where he is. Be relentless in your search. Secondly, be reasonable in your search. What do you mean? Make sure that you have the right motive when you go to the Word of God. You need to say to yourself, this is good for me. God, you said this was sweet and satisfying, but it's good for me. Watch this. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. I wrote this down, and it may cause you to write it down a different way. I said, don't try to justify your carnal life by Scripture. Try to justify your spiritual life by Scripture. Don't go looking and going, oh, see, there it is. Now, that I just have the liberty to do this now. Be very careful that you don't start justifying a sinful life because of some Scripture that you found without looking at the whole context of Scripture and come to an understanding and the fear of the Lord so that you could actually instead justify a spiritual life. Don't try to find things for you. Try to find things for God that meant for you. Be relentless in your search. Be reasonable. Thirdly, record it. I don't mean like with a cassette tape recorder or something like that. I mean in a journal. Write it down. You need to muse on it. You need to activate more senses than just reading it and going, oh, that was good. Okay, I'll shut my Bible. I read my Bible. Well, what did you learn? What did you learn about God? What you learned about God, what does that mean to you today? What you got from God about him and about you, what are you going to do with that today? And if you need a Bible help, or if you need some kind of a Bible study, or some kind of a question and answer thing to get those questions out of you, then get it. Ask. I'll try to do my best to help you, but don't stay ignorant because you're just lazy. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace and your hearts to the Lord. The Bible says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. You see, God says, I've set it up this way. It's always going to be good and sweet if you go look for it. No one ever finds anything without looking. Charles Spurgeon said, the quarry of the Holy Scripture is inexhaustible. He said, I seem hardly to have begun to labor in it. This is after he wrote 200 books out of the Word of God. He said, I feel like I've hardly started to labor in it. Unbelievable. There was an old black preacher in Decatur, Alabama, whose name was Dr. Charles Elliott, who was 77 years old. And a month before his death, he sat down and he read the Old Testament through in 3 weeks. His daughter said, Daddy, what you reading? He said, the news. The news. He had developed a sweet tooth for the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I sure love you, and I thank you for this day, and I thank you for, Lord, for lack of a better thought, the practicality of Scripture. Lord, the fact that you put it in there encourages me that the Word of God is like honey and the honeycomb, good and sweet. Lord, we can appreciate it, and we ought to every single day. The people in the parts of the world tonight sure would like to have a Bible. Sure would like to have a place to come and somebody give the sense. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to not be lazy Christians. Help us to go in search of. And then, Lord, when we find it, help us to savor every morsel and hide it, that our lives would be provoked unto love and good works. Minister to us, I pray tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, in your heart, maybe tonight, you need to be praying, Lord, I need a sweet tooth. I need a craving for the Word of God. Maybe tonight, right after service, you'll come to me and say, Pastor, I just need to know where to read. I've always kind of struggled with my devotional life. Can you help me? I would be glad to. I have done that with so many Christians in the last 15 years. Sometimes it's just a matter of knowing how to start, when to start. Sometimes it's just a recommendation of a guide that just kind of gets it kicked off for you. I don't know. You're struggling, though, because the life of Christ in you is starving to death. And he feeds on the honey and the honeycomb of the living Word of God. Maybe tonight you need to be praying, God, please help me to have a sweet tooth, a craving for the Word of God. Maybe you're diligently reading it, and it's just a matter of continuing on, and you need to clear your mind and your heart. I don't know. I'd try to help you if you wanted me to help you with that. But maybe it's just neglect. Maybe if we really had to confess something, it was, Lord, I've been lazy. I've not been faithful. I've not enjoyed the present reward because I've been lacking in my search. I need to be relentless in my search tonight. Whatever it is, I want you to take just a minute. And I want you just to speak to the Lord while Janelle plays.